Well, we're in this series called By Faith. It is in Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Our main focus throughout this series is going to be the first two verses and the last two verses of this chapter. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It says, and this is the King James Version, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." I'd like everyone to say, "obtained a good testimony." I'd underline that in your Bible because we're going to come back to that statement a couple times today. The last two verses, 39 and 40, it says, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." You see, these biblical heroes that we're reading about in the Bible, we call them biblical heroes, really, so to speak, but the only hero that we really celebrate is Jesus Christ. But they're in this chapter not because they lived perfect lives, but because they have obtained a good testimony through faith in the promises of God. Sometimes, it's a statement that Pastor Howell like prayed over me today, is that sometimes we have faith in faith, but we really should be having faith in God. That there are many examples of people in the Bible who obtained a good testimony to inspire us how to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, with the hope that we will obtain a good testimony. The great thing about coming to church is that we get to see people, young and old, with all kinds of different backgrounds, with all kinds of different upbringings, do the very thing that we're talking about, which is obtaining a good testimony through faith. Hebrews, hold on one second. They try very hard to get me to hear them, so I always want to make sure we celebrate our kids being equipped over there. Okay. For all of you online, you really need to come in person to hear that joy of kids screaming for Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 states, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." So during the series, each week, I'll be asking different people to come up and share their testimony. I want you to know, I have already asked those people to come up and share their testimony, so you don't have to be afraid when I come up to say hi to you and you run away. You don't have to do that. It's okay. I mean, maybe one day you'll come up there, but it's starting to kind of get a little hurtful. So last week we shared in 1 John chapter 5 that it says that some believe in the testimony of men, but the testimony of God is so much greater, because the testimony of God is all about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to add to our faith, to obtain a good testimony, our testimony should not be about me, but it should be about the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Each testimony that you're going to hear each week of the people in the Bible and of the people of the body, you're going to hear how they did not conform to the patterns of this world, but how they were transformed into God's own likeness. And with that, I would like to invite Mr. Casey Donahue to come up and share his testimony.
Good morning, Grace Church. I'm Casey Donahue. Again, I'd like to thank Pastor Ben for this opportunity to share my testimony with you all. We don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to jump straight on into it. I wasn't born into a Bible-reading Christian family. It was quite the contrary, and this is not at all speaking down on my family, but it was just the simple truth of what I went through growing up. I didn't know God. I didn't know Jesus. I knew of him, and it's kind of funny, just a funny little thing I like to look back on is, back in middle school, I had really, really long hair, and as some of you know, I grow all my hair to donate. And in middle school, it was the longest it ever was. And my friends would always come up to me, and they'd be like, "Casey, you look like Jesus with your long hair." And me knowing Jesus at the time, I'd be like, thank you? Is this a compliment, insult? But looking back at that as a Christian now is just kind of a special moment for me, because even in my ignorance, in my lost ways, God was throwing me breadcrumbs saying, come my way, get to know me. Fast forward, of course, I wasn't innately a bad kid. I was what we call a good kid, but I wasn't living according to biblical standards. I wasn't living according to the way God wanted us to live. So, of course, I found myself swearing like a pirate. I mean, you'd think I was casted for Pirates of the Caribbean, how badly I was swearing. It was ridiculous. And I would find myself in connections and friendships that were, you know, not good for my heart, not good for me. No disrespect towards anybody I've ever been friends with, but sometimes those connections are toxic for your spirit. And one of those friendships, unfortunately, was the catalyst to my long-term 13-year battle with lust. What was seemingly an innocent sleepover was quickly turned into my innocence being stolen at 11 or 12, with him pulling up things on the internet without even my knowing and not even my knowledge of him doing so. Fast forward, of course, again, I went through high school. I dated a girl for 4 years. My senior year, that was my first big heartbreak. That relationship ended, and of course, me not having that firm foundation in Christ, I quickly tried to find things to fill that hole. And I would fill my heart, at least try to, with substances and things that ultimately left me more hurt and more empty than I was before. Fast forward yet again, I dated a girl for 9 months. This girl was the first person who actually spoke of Jesus in a way that was really inspiring. She was a Christian, and she spoke about praying in the Bible, and it was a way that really got me intrigued. And although that relationship ended, God used that heartbreak for the very catalyst with my relationship with him today. Because had I not known that, had I not met and heard those things, God only knows where I would be today. So, of course, not to be poetic, but one late night in my room, it was probably midnight, I was lost, I was hopeless, I was broken, I had nowhere to turn to, didn't know who to turn to, and in my brokenness, I said, you know what, I probably said a prayer or something like, God, I don't know what I'm saying or who you are, but I need help. This is not the way I want to live. And from that moment forward, my life completely changed. It completely reversed and 180'd. I was invited to attend here by some old family members to attend Grace, and I came. I met Mike on the worship team. I think it was, 3 a.m. in Cole's parking lot before my truck shift. I said the salvation prayer in my car. Right before work, and I came, met Mike, got on the worship team, got baptized in 2019, and I stand here today telling you all of an imperfect man with an imperfect life that God completely and utterly changed and turned around, and here to tell you today that it was not by my own doing, that I'm not any special person, but God truly stepped in into a very imperfect life and said, come to me, child. And you can give those things to God. And if you're in those situations and in those seasons of life where you're lost, give it to him. I encourage it. So if we have time, I have a original song that I'd like to share with you all today. Just a little snippet of it. It's called Let Go. This song was musically a symbol of my surrender to God at that season of life. So I hope it blesses you.
I'm ready to let it all go. Who I used to be, what I used to know. Take it all, take it all out of my hands. Standing walking towards the promise that you have given me. Take it all, take it all out of my hands. Cause I'm ready. Faith. see your grace. So God, I'm going to let go.
Great job, Casey. Michelle and I met Casey in 2020. He was very involved serving in the 180, and as I accidentally made the joke earlier, and when we started the Emerge group, he was very instrumental with that group. I couldn't pass up. They laughed a lot more in the first service, I'm just saying. That was pretty interesting. All right, so, but you know, serving really has helped develop Casey where he is at now, where he's at now, and to be able to have the opportunities that he's having. As you have probably saw on the Facebook, on his Facebook page, or there's some pages going around, we have an opportunity also out in the lobby area. It is God Music Showcase. He's been the opportunity to showcase this song. He made it past the first round, and he needs our votes. So when you go out there and you look at the QR code and you can get on to scan, I will just let you know it does cost. But as I told him, he's worth the cost. And so we need to get behind him. It's a great great representation of Grace Church, but also just of a brother working that out. And this is the importance of us serving. As I've shared before with you about Michelle and I, and now Casey gives another great example that he started here at Grace Church. He started serving, and it helped develop him into the man that God wants him to be and to grow that. And the opportunity we have to serve is here at Grace Church. We ask everyone to go through Growth Track. So Aaron Angel is in the back of the room. Everyone look back, wave at Aaron. Aaron's waving at you. There we go. All right. He teaches Growth Track. Thank you, Aaron. He teaches Growth Track. It's during the second service, but because of all the graduation parties that are happening in May, all the vacations that are happening, he came up with an idea of having just one class that'll be 2 hours long. It starts at 11 o'clock during our second service, and it'll go through. If you have missed one of the classes, if you've missed, just go talk to him. He's making himself very available. We're going to provide lunch for everybody, and then we'll do this again another time, again, once we get enough people, and you can talk to Aaron about that. But we want you to go through Growth Track. Growth Track teaches you about what we believe and what our standards are, and then we also get to know who you are, and then it talks about all the serving opportunities. So if you are interested, please make sure you talk to Aaron. One more time, wave at Aaron. Aaron, there he is. Now he's going to wear a different shirt the next time you see him. Might have a long beard, might be short, I don't know, but he's a pretty nice guy. So we just need to get to talk to him about Growth Track. All right, well, today's focus is on Abel. So Lord, I pray that as we focus in on your message, that we are able to have a heart after your own heart in all the things that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in Hebrews chapter 11. As I talked to you about what this series is we're going through Hebrews 11. We're going to read about someone in that story, and then we're going to stop. We're going to go back and look. I'm not going to cover everybody in Hebrews 11. That gives you guys opportunities to search these people out who we don't cover. Hebrews 11, verse 4 says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, Abel, being dead, still speaks today." So we keep hearing this word, obtained. Abel obtained righteousness. Verse 2 and verse 39, it says, "These faithful people, they obtained a good testimony." Grace Church's commitment to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ is so that you and I can obtain a good testimony, and that testimony will be a witness of righteousness. This righteousness is not about perfectionism. It is about the transformation that is happening when we read his word and apply it to our life. That witness is not not something to glorify me, but it's supposed to be used to glorify God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It is impossible, I would even say. We cannot and we do not stumble into a good growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's impossible. Some of the problems we have with spouses is that we stopped being intentional with the words. We stopped being intentional with wooing one another and loving each other, and you grow out, you don't add to the love, you end up falling out of love with each other. The same goes with faith. You cannot accidentally stumble into a good growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It has to be purposeful. It has to be intentional. So Abel's story begins in Genesis chapter 4. I want to encourage you to bring your Bible. There's ink pens in, write notes in, highlight the underline the different things that come to mind. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. This is Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. The first verse, we're going to say, thank God we have Kid City, because sometimes we read things in the Bible and then the kids are asking us questions and maybe we're not ready for those, so we just say, thank you, Jesus, for Kid City. Adam made love to his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of the flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain, his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, and here's one you want to underline, but you... This isn't God saying, okay, you know what, it's here, I'll just rule over it. But it says, you must rule over it. Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother, disobeying the word of God, and Abel was killed by him. There's two points that come from this scripture that we're going to cover today. The first is God is after the heart of our offering. God is after the heart of our offering. I'm going to clarify something from last week to this week. First of all, when God shows favor over Abel's offering and Cain's offering, it wasn't because Abel was his favorite. That's the problem of last week. We saw what happens when we have a favorite child over the other child. But God chose to favor the heart behind this offering. Now, when I read and I do studying for messages like this, I read several different translations. The King James Version, the New King James Version, the English Standard Version say that God received the offering Abel gave with respect. He respected that gift. So when I disciple people and I hear people say, well, they're not respecting me, and I'll say, look, if you want respect, you have to give respect. If you want respect, you have to be respectable. This is what we know about love, that the only reason we know how to love is because God gave us love first. He taught us what good and pure love is so that we know how to give that back to Him. We've been praying. God gave us joy. God gave us compassion. God gave us mercy. He gave us grace so that way we can take it and give it back to Him in an honoring way, in a respectful way. So I believe that God respected Abel's offering because of the heart behind the offering. Cain, he gave out of the abundance of his leftovers. Now, I don't mind leftovers. Michelle and I, we make a big meal, and then usually for a month for lunch, I'm eating the leftovers. You just gotta love leftovers, but sometimes every single day for lunch, it gets old, but it's okay. Leftovers are good. Now, wouldn't it be weird if I invited you over to my house and I said, come on over, I'm gonna cook 3-day-old crusty pizza. I heard if you put ice cubes on it or something, it's supposed to work. Hey, you know, the milk, it expired yesterday. It's fine. It's a little chunky. We call that cottage cheese now. It's Abel gave the firstborn from the first portions. Cain gave leftovers. Cain, he wanted to make sure that he got the best, that he received the first. Abel, he wanted to make sure that God got the best and that God received the first. When we receive our tithes and offering, I don't take up them. I don't pass a plate around because I don't want guilt offerings. I want you to be intentional with the way you give your offering. And I say it in a way like this. I want you to come and bring it as an offering. I don't want to take it up. We give opportunities for you to join with us as we worship God. As we give our tithes and offering, it is a sign of worship. We recognize that we are blessed and we want to be a blessing to other people. We read this in 1 Chronicles 17:27. It says, now you have been pleased to bless the house. This is David's praise to God. You, God, have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. We're going to come back to that. You might want to underline those words. In your sight. For you, Lord, have blessed it, and because you have blessed it, it will be blessed forever. We can see that God has blessed the people of Grace Church. And we pray that blessing continues forever in God's sight. If you're new here, I see a lot of new people. Praise God for the new people. And I just want to make sure you understand the difference between what we call tithes and what we call offerings. We do not rob and steal from our tithes to give our offerings. The same, we don't rob our tithes from our offerings to give our tithes. Tithe is 10% that we give as a worship to God. 10% of everything that comes in. The 180 students would always come to me and say, well, Pastor Ben, we don't have a job. I'm like, yeah, but I'm pretty certain the birthday card you got, it looked pretty thick and loaded. It's behind the heart. What is your heart behind it? If you got to justify your gift, is it really a heart gift? Of those tithes, I want you to know that Grace Church, the first thing we do is we tithe 10% of everything that comes in. And we support 15 different missionaries and all the different programs that we got going on here. Then we have our offering. Offering is above and beyond the 10%. It goes for more specific things. I don't want to keep repeating the same message over and over. I just preached on this in November, so if you see in your program, you'll see if you're online, you can go to our website, graceweb.tv, November 26, 2023. Look up the title, Tithing or Language of Worship, and you can see the heart that we have behind this. Cain and Abel's offering reminds me of the widow's offering, and I would like for you to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Again, I want to remind you to bring your Bibles, bring up ink pen, or we got the ink pen. If you need a Bible, talk to me. We will help you get a Bible. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and what did he do? Watched. He watched the people as they gave, the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." All that she had to live on. So Jesus watched the crowd as they gave. The widow had a heart like Abel. She gave out of the heart of obedience. She wasn't like Cain, who gave out of his abundance. So we just saw in three scriptures, we saw in Genesis, it said that God looked upon the offering that was given between Cain and Abel. In 1 Chronicles 17, it says the prayer was asking God, look at the offering that we are bringing. Mark, Jesus said Jesus looked upon the offering that was given. When I ask you to come up here and bring your offering up here to the altar, I'm not doing it so that I can look to see who's giving. As I shared with you before, I understand that a lot of us are under financial strain, and sometimes we think our finances are a burden, and so it's a way for us to come up and say, God, I want you to make a change of heart in me and change this burden into a blessing. But I also am saying, in a way, I don't think God is looking at the envelope and the amount. I don't think he's looking about all the different ways that we give. He's looking at the heart behind the gift. When Michelle and I, when we give our tithes and our offering, we're asking God, search our heart and how we give. Is the way we're giving, is it in a way, is it bringing you glory? So the first point is, God is after the heart of our offering. The second is, God is after the obedience of our offering. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, that God's discipling Cain, and he's asking him in verse 6 and 7, why are you angry, Cain? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. Sin is going to lead. It says the wages of sin leads to death. That's why he's saying you must rule over it. A lot of times we're bringing our sin to God and saying, okay, God, rule over it. And he's saying, no, you must rule over it. I've given you the tools. I'm there with you. I'll help you. I've convicted you of that sin, but you must be the one that makes your stand against this. You see, so many of us, the reason why we're not ruling it is because we're walking in temptation and we're liking it. We're flirting with temptation and we like the way it makes us feel. It's not a sin to be tempted, but yet we keep stumbling and falling and falling and falling and falling, and we wonder why. It's because we willingly walk in temptation. God was not after the sacrifice. He was not after the offering. He's after our obedient heart, 100%. I'm gonna believe some of the Bible here, but I don't like what the Old Testament says because it doesn't go with my beliefs. And the world says to do this, so I'm just gonna conform to the patterns and turn this word to make it do whatever fits my needs. Samuel, he goes to King Saul. King Saul, he says, look, you're going to go up there. Your men are going to be there. I'm going to come and I give a sacrifice. Well, what did Saul do? Saul conformed to the pattern. Hey, you got to make the sacrifice. Look at the Philistines. They're coming to attack us. And so he says, okay, you know what I'm going to do? Saul goes, I'm just going to make the sacrifice. Yeah, that's what God really wants, is a sacrifice. And Samuel rebukes him and he says, Does the Lord delight in 1 Samuel 15, 22? Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as he delights in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than, well, what did God give favor for Abel's? Was it because of the fat of the lamb? To heed is better than the fat of the rams. God did not want Saul's sacrifice. What he wanted was his obedience to be patient. God did not favor Abel's offering over Cain's because he liked Abel more than Cain, or because he liked meat more than he liked fruits and vegetables. He wanted their obedience to give their best with the abilities they had. We just read in in Matthew chapter 25, if you want to go there, just it's the book before Mark, Matthew 25, just a couple chapters. We're in the SOAP Bible study. The SOAP Bible study is a daily reading plan. It helps us to stay focused. It helps us to stay committed to reading His Word every single day, journaling about it. Matthew 25, verses 14 and 15. It says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants," and underline this word, "entrusted his wealth to them." He entrusted them. He trusted them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags. To another, 1 bag, each according to what? Because he's a favorite? Because he's been in the church longer? Because what reason? He gave it according to their ability. He wasn't asking the one he gave the 1 bag to be like the person who he gave the 5 bags to. He just said, "Look, this is your ability. Stop looking after all these other people. Stop judging yourself and beating yourself down because you can't do it this way or that way. Look at the gift that I gave you and use it with the ability that I've given you." The King James Version and the New King James Version, the Amplified, use the word talents. So they were given, he entrusted them with talents, with gold, with money, with gifts, their blessing, in accordance to their ability. Casey didn't come up here and talk about anything more than that God gave him a talent to sing, and he's using that with the ability God has given him to bring honor and glory to God. 2 of the 3 servants, they took their talent, they took their gold, they took their blessing, and they invested it, bringing it back as an offering to God. And that's in verse, you can see in 20 and 23. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with these 5 bags of gold. I have gained," or you can say, "I have obtained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I have put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And what I love is the next couple verses, you'll see the guy who came in with the 2 bags, it's the exact same statements, besides they took 5 and took it to 2, and he said, "You entrusted me with the 2, I took your 2 and I poured it out, I used the talent, I used the things with my ability, and I brought you back 2. And the very same praise that he gave for the guy who gave 5, who he got 5, he was more than the 2, but it was the same praise. He said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You use the ability that I thought I saw you, and you use it in a way to bring me honor." The 3rd servant, though, his blessing, he took it and he hid it. He took his talent and he hid it in the ground, not seeing the ability that he had within, and he just hid it, obtaining no testimony whatsoever. When the master came back home, he brought the very gift back and said, "Here you go. Yeah, that thing you trusted me with, I did nothing with it. I have no testimony to give you. Yeah, that gift of joy that you gave me this morning, God, yeah, I'm laying in bed. Yeah, I did nothing with it. Yeah, all the parts and the paint, no, but don't you know if you just use that joy, no, I did nothing with it. It was useless to me. That gift of grace that cost you such a big price of your son's life, I did nothing with it." So the master rebukes him and tells him he's lazy, and then took his talent. I want you to see this. He took his talent away from him, and he gave it to someone else who was going to do something with it. So the takeaway is this: God is not after the dollar amount. He's not after our meat more than fruit. He's after the heart of our obedience, which is our offering to God. Grace Church is committed to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ with the hope that we will obtain a good testimony through faith. Paul tells us that he's glad that we have a relationship with Jesus, but it needs to move from a relationship with Jesus to having a growing relationship with him. And that's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. As for other matters, my brothers and sisters, we instructed you to live in order to please God. The only way to please God is to live a life through faith, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you, no, we urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to do this more and more. Hold up, Pastor Ben. Isn't it enough that I just come to church on Sunday? I mean, I threw some money in the tithe box. Aren't you happy by that? You saw me. That's why you come up there, so you can see me. What, so you want me to come to church on Sunday, every Sunday and Wednesday night, and join life groups, and give tithes, and get offering, and now you're wanting me to serve? What else do you want from me? I don't want nothing from you. I want to help you. I don't need it. You need it. We want to equip the eager with the hope that every single person who hears this message will use the gifts that they have so that they will one day hear those blessed words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I'm going to tell you, for me and my house, I can't answer for you, but for me and my house, I want us to die daily so that God can have all of me, because I want all of him. And for me to die daily so I can become less and less, so that Christ can become more and more and more and more. My testimony is not about Ben. It's about the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Will you please stand with me? Hebrews 11 verse 4 says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. God testified about his gifts." What is God saying about your gift? You know, before we can have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, we need to start by having one. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the grave, then we are saved, saved from all unrighteousness. So we can confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, saying, "Jesus, please come live in my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to live a life I cannot live on my own, so that one day I can be singing a song while I'm kneeling down on my bed, not knowing that someone else is recording me as I sing, 'I have decided to follow Jesus.' There's no turning back. There's no turning back. I have decided to take this gift of grace and salvation and joy and do something with it." Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room. They're so talented. They have so much to offer. I'm desperate for them to obtain a good testimony that speaks of you, with the hope that their testimony is going to encourage and speaks to someone else. Because maybe it takes someone speaking into your life, that someone is going to believe the testimony of men, so that one day we can believe the testimony of God and raise our hand and say, "I have decided to follow Jesus." and there's no turning back. Bless my brothers and my sisters. Help them as they work out the salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Thanks for watching this message today at graceweb.tv. If you're looking for previous messages or message series, you can find them by clicking the archive link on the message page of our website. If you need to connect with us, send us an email at gracecentral@graceweb.tv or send us an online connect card, which you'll find in the online forms page of the website. If you'd like to support the church financially, you can do so by clicking the give button, or you can text the word give to 618-414-4220. Thank you again for being a part of Grace Church.